is blessing. I am the real McCoy. And yes, I'm on my way to Alexandria, Louisiana. And I want to see my father's children. Good God Almighty. I might be coming here and with my singing ministry. And at the same time, I'll be seeing special saints of God private at my prayer room suite at an unknown location. You have to be on the one with me to know where that location is going to be. But everyone will be able to come and hear me sing. Good God Almighty, I thank God for everything that he's been doing. I thank God for making a way out of no way for everyone here in Louisiana. Those of you, good God Almighty, many of you have came up, your mothers and your fathers have told you about them witchcraft workers. They told you about the seven sisters. Good God Almighty, the seven sisters was my auntie. And I tell you, you better watch what you do, man. You better watch what you do, woman, and watch them devils. Good God Almighty, watch them devils that's trying to block and stop you. Good God Almighty, all the wolves dressed in lamb clothing, all saints of God. But if you just try God through me. Yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I am the real McCoy. If you just try God through me, devil and that devil out there that running his and her mouth, I want you to know that your arms is too short to box with God. I said, God is my sponsor, and sweet Jesus is my boss. Ain't but one person you can, one spirit that you can go tell on me, and that's the Lord. Because I'm in the United States of America, and you got freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Good God Almighty, the First Amendment. Now listen to me good. Those of you, there's some of you out here don't even believe in God. Atheists, that some of you don't even believe in God. All you believe in is your riches and your wealth, your money. But I want you to know that money don't shrink and land don't grow. But listen to me good now. This Bishop Uriah, don't get me mixed up with no one else. Money don't shrink and land don't grow. Good God Almighty, the same acre you had 10 years ago ain't grown a tap. That money is out here today for you to get legal, but you got to create the right way to get it. Call me right now, my one day, one way blessing. The system has already created a way legally for you to get some money. Good God Almighty. Long as you ain't on welfare and you want to stay on God's fare, long as you're on welfare and then you want to stay on God's fare, all you got to do is call me. Right here, the number is 1-800-399-7353 all over Louisiana. Louisiana is one in Mississippi. Now, those of you right here in Mississippi and Louisiana, this is, these states is from the beginning the most blessed states that have ever been in the Union. And those of you, you're sitting there on that stool of do nothing and let the devil steal your joy. Let the devil tell you lies that you can't be blessed, that you can't be delivered. You got someone in the cell, Bob, and I'm here, I come here on today to let you know the devil is a liar. The telephone number is 1-800-399-7353. Oh, saints of God, I'm the king of all the modern day prophets. I'm not backing up. I'm sure enough not slacking up. I'm tagging up in the name of Jesus. And if that devil try to block and stop you, listen to me, you. When you write me or when you call me this morning, I'm going to send you out one of my CDs with me singing my hit song. If you can't help me, please don't stop. Someone said, who's that singing that song? When I come to Alexandria, I'm going to sing this song. And I'm going to lie to you. See God. three more of you to call. Three more of you that mean business. Three more of you that want to be your own testimony on today and tomorrow. You dial me 1-800-399-7353. That's 1-800-399-7353. Thank you, Lord. That's 1-800-399-7353. In the name of Jesus. That's 1-800-399-7353. That's 1-800-399-7353. I see the clock on the wall. It's time for me to leave you. God bless you. God keep you in my prayer. I love you. But with the love of the Lord, news hour, I'm on my way to Edgetown. God bless you now.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet. And I want to commence reading at the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 12. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. And it reads as follows. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject Jesus gives you another chance. Jesus gives you another chance. Man may not give you another chance, but Jesus gives each of us another chance. Notice I didn't say a second chance, because I think all of us, if we would look back over our lives and recognize and acknowledge the fact that our second chance expired a long time ago. But thank God for another chance. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for another chance. All right, look at the text, because as we hear the words of Peter in his second sermon ministering about the covenants that will be fulfilled in Christ Jesus and the people who accept him, he deals with this on the heels of a great miracle that took place about a man who had been laid at the gate called Beautiful for many, many years. And he was known throughout the community, and the best that people could do for him was to throw money at his problems. They couldn't heal him, they couldn't deliver him, they couldn't restore him, but all they could do was temporarily meet some external needs by giving to him money. So his position at the gate was to simply beg for the support of those who were able to give alms or monies in the sense of sorrow or mercy, as they would call those givings. And he knew that if he was going to survive, it was going to have to be on the mercy of the people who came to the church to ask God's blessings or to praise and thank him for blessings. But in short, it would be the religious people who would give him that mercy that he needed to sustain his life. If you'll note the story, and I just want to walk back through this for those of you who've never read it. In the first verse of the third chapter of Acts, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now notice what the word says. It said, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid when? Daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 9 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10 says, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now this backdrop sets up the stage for Peter's second sermon. Now this is after he has preached that powerful sermon and or message outside of the walls of Jerusalem, when all of the folk came together and he ministered that first word. Now he's ministering again, but he's taking them to another level, because he's trying to help them understand that the focus is not on him and John, but rather the focus should be on Jesus. The power and the authority out of which he operates comes from that has been extended to him, and that goes through him, and not that comes from him. Look at what he says. And when Peter saw it, what did he see? That the folk ran up to him greatly wondering. They were filled with amazement and wonder. And the Bible says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?
Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now, I like the way Peter deals with this, because Peter said, let's get this thing straight. Don't get it twisted. We are men, just mere men, but it is the power of God, the supernatural power of God that works through us to do this. This is not about us. This does not come from us. This comes through us, but the glory belongs to God. Now, listen at this, because this is so empowering. This is so powerful and so important. If you ever get your focus twisted and take it off the master and put it on the man, you'll get messed up. I think I can say it again, but I thought you caught it the first time. See, too many of us lose our focus when we want to look at what we see rather than that is invisible but yet perceived and seen through the working of the power of God. We'd rather stop at the man rather than the message or the power that lies within the man. And so Peter saw, wait a minute, we ain't going to turn this thing into no a popularity situation. We're not going to rob Jesus of any glory. We want to make sure that you understand where this came from, how this happened, so you don't get hooked on us and miss your blessing. Look at what he says again, because he wants to pull out the fact that they've been seeing him before. This is no new thing. It was no new thing that they had heard or seen about miracles happening, but they saw the miracle worker and they got caught up on the worker rather than the work. So look at what Peter says. He says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on, so sincerely, so focused and so steadfast on them, as if to say that these were more than mere men utilizing the power of God? Look what he says. He says, as though by our own power. We didn't conjure up this power to be able to work these miracles. We didn't formulate this power. There's no stuff that we can do to do this. He said, but then the next problem is, because you think out of a religious mind rather than a righteous mind that the only way we could do this is because we are holier than thou. Yes. Now, this is Peter talking. Y'all do know Peter, don't you? Peter just not long ago, just a few days ago, just cussed some folk out. I love the super holier than thou folk who think the only way God can use you is if you are holier than thou. Listen, it ain't about you in the first place. Now don't get me wrong, he wants a holy vessel, but don't think that you can ever get so holy that the only reason he uses you is because you're holy. If you're holy, it's because he made you holy, positionally, not because of you. Some of us seek to be holy for our own selfish motives and reasons, to brag and say we do this or we don't do that, so that people can look on us and think that God favors us because we are holier than the other person. Every person who experiences holiness comes from God, and it is not of you. You may be able to experience the joy and the experience of being holy because of your relationship with Jesus, but it is never because of who you are by and in and of yourself. Matter of fact, Isaiah picked up that issue and discussed it and said, in our own righteousness, we are as filthy rags in God's sight. So when you get to thinking that it's because you do everything right, it's because you live right, it's because, no, you got yourself messed up. Peter said, don't get this twisted. It ain't because we got this from our own power. It ain't because we are holy or godly. No. Peter said, I can tell you some stories. I'm so glad he looked beyond my faults. Peter said, I could tell you some stories. Y'all don't understand it. It ain't always like it appears. But look at what he says. He says, verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Now Peter is again bringing back to the remembrance of these folk who are religious. And actually, again, I always submit to the saints to understand who it was that really killed Jesus. The Romans really carried out the act of the desire of the religious people, or Jesus' own people. See, they were the ones who, on that day when Pilate was going to release one of the prisoners, criminals, whomever, and he wanted to, after questioning Jesus, let him go. He was already prepped and poised to let him go. But Jesus' own people refuted that decision and said, if you do so, we're going to tell the king that you're really not his friend. We're going to tell the emperor that you're really not in his best interest as one governing his people. So he understood that there were going to be some political repercussions if he let Jesus go against the desires of Jesus' own people. And he said, well, who do you want me to let go? And they said, a known murderer, Barabbas. Now, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when folk get hate-filled eyes and hearts, they'd rather let somebody who's worse off than you go before they'd ever do anything good and kind to you. It just goes to show you, when you become so filled with your own selfish desires, your own selfish motives, that you would hurt yourself just to hurt somebody else. You ever heard the saying, don't cut your nose to spite your face? Well, this was one of the situations that they literally lived. They killed the Son of God just to prove that he wasn't who God said he was, and did not accept him because he did not do what they wanted him to do, but rather did what God wanted him to do. And so they would rather cut themselves in such a deep place that they could never ever get healing again, except through the same one that they betrayed and that they denied and that they ultimately killed. And Peter is bringing this back up in the message again. Now look at what he says, because this is important. He says, verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and killed the Prince of Life. Listen, you did your part, but God did something else. When you killed him, God raised him. And we are witnesses. Verse 16 says, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now look at this. He's saying that man that you killed named Jesus, it was the faith in the name of this man, Jesus, that this man who was lame from his mother's womb, who begged for alms every day, got his healing. It was by his name. He had faith in that name. Let's take you back to the text and see what it says. Verse 6, same chapter, third chapter, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Listen, in the who? Name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What was the command? Rise up and walk. Now, this man never ever walked a day in his life because he was lame from his mother's womb. So now when we see Peter reaching down to help him up, it is not to support his faith. It is simply to be a support system for an experience he never had before. Now listen at this, brothers and sisters. The Bible says in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Well, now, the man believed that in the name of Jesus he was going to walk, but because he had never walked, he didn't know what to do. Peter reaches down, and when he reaches down, connects with him. The man's faith believe, I'm going to walk. I just need somebody to help me get on my feet. And when Peter pulls him up, he gets up on his feet and his ankle bones are strengthened. Listen at this. If his faith would not have been intact, Peter would have been pulling all day long. And the man would have fell right back down. But when he pulled him, it was so that we affirm the fact that you're going to get up from here. And he immediately, after speaking those words, began to put him in action. See, one of the things you got to realize, if it's going to be about faith, the Bible says, now faith. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith. If it's really about faith, you can't wait and think on it. Somebody don't hear. See, I heard one of our deacons in a deacon meeting say, so many of us have what was called a paralysis of analysis. We just analyze the thing so much to death. We start thinking about what if this, what if that. We start breaking it down to the lowest degree. We go through all the mess only because the reality is our faith is not strong enough to support what we say. Because if you really mean it, you act upon it. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. So when Peter spoke, he then reached down. The man grabbed Peter's hand and he was pulled up. And look again at what the Bible says. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And what's the next word? Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, when they received strength, look at what the man did. He, leaping up, stood. Now, look at this. This man say, I've been down too long. He didn't get up all slow, scared. When Peter reached up for him, the man, because he found some strength. You know, that's something about us. We don't even walk with no pep in our step to say we belong to God. We walk down, look down, talk down, act down, get down, just everything down, down, down. You ought to be tired of being down, and your looks should be upward. Where your faith is forwarded to Jesus. This man leaping, jumping, praising. Look again at what the Bible says. Verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, don't you know, first of all, he wasn't the only one in there walking. But I'm almost sure he was the only one in there leaping. I wish I had somebody. And you know, I don't care who you are. You can be in a church full of religious folk, but just get your shout on and watch folk wonder what's wrong with you because you got your shout on. You see, when you start leaping and praising God, there are always going to be some folk in the house that's wondering why you praising it. Wondering why you're leaping, wondering why you're rejoicing. But I got news for you. It ain't their business why you shout. Y'all aren't hearing me here. See, too many of you can't shout because you're worrying about what folk gonna say if you shout. You don't know what the Lord has done. You don't know you wasn't there. You don't know when and you don't know. So excuse me if you want to pout, but I've got to shout because of his goodness. He didn't care about who was looking at him. Tell somebody on the side of me, it's all right if you look at me. I ain't looking at you. I'm looking at him. I'm focused on him. I'm glorifying him. I'm praising him. Because when you can't be found, guess who can be? When I can't talk to you, guess who I can talk to? Oh, I wish I had somebody here. Oh, he's opened so many doors, made so many ways. Many times when I didn't know which way to turn, he was right there to guide. You don't know why I shout. Glory to his name today. Listen, 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 listen. Listen. So he tells him, verse 17 now, and now, brethren, I what? That through ignorance ye did it, as did also your ruler. He said, listen, I really wish above, you know, I really don't want to believe y'all did this because you knew what you were doing. I just want to really think that you did it out of ignorance. You know, and I can sympathize and empathize with Peter, because every now and then when I look around the church, I really want to think it's just out of ignorance that you sit there with your mouth on.